It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. And at the Academy Awards, the film The Last Repair Shop won Best Documentary Short. And one of its producers is from Wisconsin. The film features the technicians who run the Los Angeles School District's musical instrument repair shop. And that keeps students from all walks of life playing on. Josh Rosenberg is a producer on this film. And Josh grew up in Green Bay and is a graduate of UW-Milwaukee. He talked with Kate Archer Kent about this Oscar win.
How did it feel as your team accepts this Oscar? What was going through your head?
I mean, it was just incredible. I mean, one of the things that we focus on with the films that we make at Breakwater Studios, where I work, is like highlighting people who haven't gotten their due. And so in this film, you know, dealing with we have four repair people who, like, they've done all of this work kind of in the shadows. It's like the instrument breaks and it comes right back to them. They don't even know all the work that goes into it. And so to be there at the Oscars with the repair people, and then also we had two of the LAUSD students with us, and just like seeing it reflected in their eyes in this environment where they're often not in the spotlight, and to see them on the red carpet. And if you watch the telecast, you got to see Porsche, who is one of the students, walk up on stage, which is kind of one of the great moments of the telecast. And just seeing it through their eyes was just so, so amazing.
Porsche Brinker, she melts our heart. I mean,
she's incredible.
She takes it away. And it makes me also wonder just how you and the team decided to like frame these stories and get these kids to really talk about hard things in their lives, and how music has kind of been that has that ability to just keep them carrying on and feel grounded.
Yeah, like what we try to do is really create an intimate environment where people feel like they have that space to be able to have these difficult conversations. And also to some degree, it ended up just being a little bit of luck. You know, you hate to kind of say that, but like, you know, we got a bunch of kids together and we ended up speaking to about 10, and four of them ended up being kind of the main four that you saw in the film. And the craziest thing was Porsche was the first person that we talked to. Hmm. And it was like, it was just one of those things, like she just lit up when she's on camera. You know, some people just have that that intangible that you can't really put your finger on. And a lot of it is just like taking the time, you know, like not trying to like rush through this in 5 or 10 minutes, but like really giving space to have these conversations. And then it was just, you know, them being willing to be open and honest with us about the impact that music has on their lives and talking about some hard things. And, you know, that's really one of the things in documentary that we always talk about. You know, the most important audience member for us are our storytellers. And we specifically use that language. We don't call them subjects. We think that's such an awful word that we use and that's used in documentary filmmaking. So we refer to everyone as storytellers. And, you know, the stories that we have to share with the world is really one of our most precious assets that we can share. And so at Breakwater, we really take that seriously. And I think you can see that in the work that we do. And so it's just creating that environment that they felt comfortable in.
And every one of the four technicians that you profile, they have these really remarkable stories of existence and how they got to where they are. I mean, the tears really start flowing for me when Patty Moreno from Mexico, you know, seeking a better life, that single mom who can't afford even the $20 for the clarinet for her son. I mean, can you describe that moment? She learns she's passed the skills test and been offered a job as a repair technician in the school district.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely one of those moments. You know, we've all seen the film many, many, many times, and it's always incredible where there's moments, whether, you know, you watch it the first time or you're watching it the 15th time, that still gets you. And I think part of it for me being a parent, that I think that sticks in the throat for any parent. And so like that's just a moment in the film that is always so powerful for me. And again, you know, like, giving the space where like you know, you think, oh, this is a short film. Maybe they interviewed him for an hour. You know, we interview people for several hours, 5, 6 hours. And it just, it creates a very different experience for the storyteller, because it's not this, like, you're just trying to like hammer out answers. You're actually able to like have a deep conversation. I mean, you've probably seen it with people when you're doing interviews, where it's like, you know, the content of a conversation drastically changes from the 5 minute mark to the half hour mark to the 4 hour mark to the 8 hour mark, right?
Yes.
Like as it goes, as you can imagine. And so like, so part of it is like, just like having that space and giving time for the interview. That's one of the things that you just like, you just can't recreate that. You can't get people there emotionally when you try to like, you know, do a quick interview. And so, you know, she was just so brave and willing to share that. And then we also see how powerful work is and how powerful a job that gives us meaning is to our lives. And like, and how impactful that was for Patty's trajectory for the rest of her life, which, you know, now she's been at the repair shop for over 20 years now. But, you know, just incredible.
Talking with Wisconsin native Josh Rosenberg, a producer on the Oscar-winning documentary short film, The Last Repair Shop. Josh, the Los Angeles Public School District, it says 80% of its students come from families living in poverty. What did you learn about the significance of free instruments and free instrument repairs as a service for students and their families?
I mean, it's everything. It's, you know, it's giving kids the opportunity to dream. It's giving them the space to, you know, look over the corner of their circumstance. And so, you know, that's one of the things that that we've really felt from the repair folks, and like that we've gotten reflected back to us in the community, because we got to do a number of screenings at a number of LAUSD schools. And just, you know, giving people the opportunity to raise beyond their circumstance. And I think, you know, Chris said it so eloquently, and Chris Bowers, our co-director on the film, says so eloquently in his speech, is that it's not about creating world-class musicians, right? Like, those people are probably going to become world-class musicians regardless of, you know, if they have freely repaired instruments. It's about creating amazing people. And so, you know, that's the thing that I think is so impactful, that like, that's really, when you really hammer down to it, the percentage of people who are going to go on to be, you know, concert pianists and, you know, famous recording artists, you know, it's like the 1% of the 1%, but like the true impact is what you're actually giving to the community.
And inside the repair shop, and just to try to give a visual, I mean, the cinematography too is just incredible, but, I, you know, not seeing a repair shop before for musical instruments, every shot, I was like, wait, what? They submerge that instrument in what? You know, I mean, can you explain this downtown LA warehouse where these technicians are working?
Yeah, it really feels like, well, it's like, it's this giant, it's nondescript building, like looking at it from the outside, like you'd never know the magic that goes on inside the space. And it's like, you go back and it's like, and you know, I think you can pick up some of the cinematography, who David Feeney Mosier, who was our DP, you know, obviously did an amazing job, where it's like, it feels like you're stepping back in time. You know, obviously they have newer technology, but it's like, a lot of this stuff, you think about, you know, these instruments, they're the same instruments that they were in the 80s or in the 60s. And so a lot of the tools and material to fix them are actually old techniques. And so it's like, you really feel like you've like stepped back in time into this like workshop of like the curiosity store or something, you know. It's like, it's just so incredible. And like, you know, seeing their workbenches and like how they've kind of customized their spaces, and like, cause a lot of them have been in these workbenches for 5, 10, 20 years. And it's just like, it's such a magical place that, you know, I'm glad that we were able to open back the veil for the audience.
And it seems as if people have really reacted to these stories and this film. There's a fundraising campaign that's underway. Can you tell us about that effort?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we try to do at Breakwater is see the actual, the societal impact that our films can have. You know, it's not just about making the films and, hey, thanks for participating and, you know, running off. You know, we really want to see how can we actually use all this publicity and all this excitement to enact real change. And so we've launched a $15 million capital campaign that, you know, is a big goal and is something that, you know, is not going to be accomplished overnight. But, you know, before we did this film, you know, a lot of the people in LAUSD and, you know, in the leadership didn't even know the repair shop existed. And so now we're able to create all this visibility, and now we want to create the resources behind it so that closing the repair shop, which is a decision that a lot of cities around our country have made, and it's, you know, it's a line item in a budget, and oh, we can't spend that, like let's cut that. We want to make it so ingrained in Los Angeles that the idea to eliminate the repair shop here at LAUSD is not ever on the table again. And so, you know, that's our focus. So we have a website, thelastrepairshop.com, where if anybody was motivated and excited by the film, you know, we'll take whatever you can contribute. Would be so excited. And, you know, our goal again is for this to be so successful that other communities, you know, around the country say like, hey, we need that. We need that in Milwaukee, or we need that in Green Bay, or, you know, like that's our dream. And we feel like if we can get more repair shops opened up and can bring this experience and situation to more students around the country, it'd be such a joy.
That is film producer and Wisconsin native Josh Rosenberg talking with Kate Archer Kent about the inspiring film, The Last Repair Shop, that won an Oscar this month for Best Documentary Short. We continue this conversation going behind the scenes on how this film came together to spotlight a musical instrument repair operation and an Academy Award. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this song is called The Alumni. It's performed by current and former students of the Los Angeles School District and the technicians who repair their instruments. The short documentary film, The Last Repair Shop, took home an Oscar this month. It's a look into the lives of devoted repair technicians who work behind the scenes to maintain tens of thousands of instruments for students free of charge. Josh Rosenberg's a producer on the film and a Green Bay native. He talked with Kate Archer Kent about what it takes to create a short doc.
So, Josh, as a producer, what are your day-to-day responsibilities with a film like The Last Repair Shop? Let's walk in your footsteps.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the work is the logistics of how a film gets made. So, you know, we're tracking all the budgets. We're preparing for all the shoots. We actually have a big production in Philly that we're working on. It's like you just have this long list of like it's all the things you can think about, like what's the location that we need? What are the props that we're going to need? Who needs to be there? When do they need to be there? You know, it's creating all of the logistical components that align with the vision that the director has. And one of the most memorable shoots from The Last Repair Shop is the end credit sequence. So, you know, you watch this beautiful film and you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, we've gone on this journey with these people, you know, and you're thinking you're waiting for the credits to just roll. We've all seen, you know, the black screen with the credits going. But we weren't that as a musical film, that wasn't going to be enough for us. So we ended up getting a 60-person orchestra that was majority comprised of LAUSD alumni and active students that were going to play in this orchestra to play the end credit song. And we did it at Warner Brothers on the big Eastwood stage where, you know, many a Hollywood score has been recorded. And so we had about 100 people that day on set between, you know, the stagehand crew from Warner Brothers, all the musicians, all the production team. So like basically the job on the producer side is like everything that you need in that room and everything all the people that are in that room are going to need to do their jobs, you got to get in that space. And so, you know, I have a wonderful production team that I work with at Breakwater. It was a complete all hands on deck. We needed every available body. But we were able to capture, you know, such an incredible fitting ending to a really beautiful film.
It was so beautiful, that ending. And it also, I mean, it was so cool to see, you know, all the names and the years and the schools of the kids who are participating in that moment. It just, to watch it all come together and be invested as a viewer, because you've seen all of the different bits and pieces of their lives and then coming together at the end. It was also just so rewarding to see that moment and to feel it with these musicians.
Totally. Yeah. And it's such a, you know, for us, it really was this like love letter to LAUSD and the music that's come out of that, to like see all these different, you know, professional musicians with the student musicians, and like, you know, to see all of that come together. And so for me, you know, as it's kind of funny, as the producer of a music documentary, I'm not musically gifted in any way, shape, or form. So as to be in that room and to see all of these musicians, as, you know, the conductor gets them ready, and then to hear the sound live, I mean, it's like all these people playing in unison. I mean, it was such a beautiful experience to actually be in the room and hear that in person.
Talking with Wisconsin native Josh Rosenberg, who is a producer on the Oscar-winning documentary The Last Repair Shop. Josh, I want to turn a little bit to financials here. The film being produced through the LA Times studios, and in January, the LA Times newspaper laid off over 20% of its newsroom, about 115 workers. How is the studio able to produce remarkable films, you know, when the company has financial challenges?
Well, one of the ways that Breakwater works is we actually take on the cost of producing the films. So we've done a number of films with the New York Times. I think we've done like over 14 films with the New York Times. And same with The Last Repair Shop, where what we do is we finance the film. So Breakwater Studios finances the films. And then we find partners that are going to come along that are going to be on the distribution side. So, you know, we were in a position where we were able to handle that, and then worked with the LA Times studio and Fox Searchlight, which was our other distribution partner, on the distribution side of the film. But part of the way that we work here at Breakwater is we invest in our original films as a marketing expense to be able, like, you know, the reason why you and I are having this conversation is because we invested in making this film and, you know, putting it out into the world so that people see the work that we're doing and then connect it to Breakwater Studios. So that's kind of how our business model is. But we're the ones who actually are paying for the film, and then are the owners of the film that then we license to certain distributors.
I see. Okay, so we're going to turn to your Wisconsin roots here before we have to let you go. 2006, you get a degree in broadcast journalism from UW-Milwaukee. As you look back at those years ago, what do you wish you would have learned during college about film production?
Man, I had such a wonderful college experience. You know, I think a lot of times in Wisconsin, like, Madison gets all the attention, which, you know, it rightfully should. I'm a huge Badger fan. But like, we had so many resources in Milwaukee, and I think partly being in, you know, a big radio and television market. And so we had such a wonderful group of amazing people. Mark Suromsky, who is a professor of mine, who just is like, was such a big supporter of mine and really challenged me. You know, we had a television station that we got access to, that we were able to go in and we did this show called Panther Vision. So I just had so many great experiences in college. You know, I mean, I think the thing that like I always point to is like, it's always great for young filmmakers to get on sets as early as possible. So I think like, you know, that would be my one thing is like when you're young and like you can, you know, work for free or, you know, you have that flexibility, like to just get on as many sets as possible. But I went to school for broadcast journalism in at UWM and just had, you know, such great experiences across the board. I got to do an internship at WUWM. You know, so I was, you know, so delighted with the experiences that I got while going to school in Milwaukee.
That's Josh Rosenberg, producer on the Oscar-winning documentary The Last Repair Shop. He's a Wisconsin native and spoke with Kate Archer Kent. The film is now available to watch on YouTube. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.